Well, joining us today, leader of the Better Together campaign, Alistair Darling. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Do you believe the NHS is safe in the Conservatives' hands?
I think the NHS is something that the whole country, whether in Scotland or the rest of the UK, values, and woe betide any politician of any political party who tries to interfere with the principle of a service being there when you need it at no cost to the individual. If you look at what is happening here, it is only in the last couple of weeks or so the Nationalists are starting to raise the NHS. They're doing so out of desperation because they're struggling with currency, with a lack of plan B. And, you know, you've misled people on Europe, they've misled us on the currency. Why should we believe them when they're talking about the NHS? In their manifesto, they said the Scottish Parliament has responsibility for the health service, and that means we can protect the NHS budgets. That's a direct quote from what they said. Alex Salmond, Nicola Sturgeon have said time and time again they've been able to protect the NHS. The only people who can privatise the NHS in Scotland is not the Prime Minister, but the First Minister, because it is totally and utterly devolved. The other thing is...
But given what we're seeing in the rest of the UK, and the argument is, of course, a reduction in the health budget south of the border could lead to a reduction of the health budget. Well, it isn't at the moment, but there's a fear that with privatisation that could be the case, that could be the outcome. But you're saying that the NHS, just to be clear, the NHS is safe in the Conservatives' hands.
What I'm saying is that there is no political party in the United Kingdom at the moment that could get away with destroying the NHS. Mrs Thatcher looked at it in the 1980s, and even she backed off, because it doesn't matter how people vote, people are very, very committed to the NHS. But let me deal with your spending point. Spending on the NHS increased right through the term of the Labour government. It's carried on increasing for the last 4 years under the present government, and it is set to increase again.
But it's not just about NHS spending, is it? A reduction in the block grant, which we've seen, coupled with further austerity, which we're being promised, would mean a smaller Scottish government budget.
No.
So less money means tough choices.
Scotland's,
the NHS may be affected.
Scotland's budget is increasing and has increased. The point is
the block grant hasn't.
The amount of money that the Scottish government is getting to spend has been going up all the time, and it is up to the Scottish Parliament to decide on the shape and the form and what happens in the NHS. Look, in the NHS, both north and south of the border, both governments, the Nationalists and the Coalition government, are increasing the amount of money they are spending through private contractors, private providers, if you like. It doesn't matter in terms of the block grant, because it is all treated as public spending. And the other thing is that, you know, we are talking in a referendum here about the future of our country, the amount of money that we're going to have to spend on the health service. The biggest determinant of how much money we can spend is the prosperity in the country, and critically, the currency that we've got.
Well, the biggest determinant of how much Scotland has to spend is how much it gets in block grant from Westminster. Why did your fellow Labour MP Ian Murray say in 2010 the Tory plans for immediate cuts to frontline services would mean less money for our NHS and all the other services we enjoy and cherish?
Look, it is no secret that the Tories have long had their sights on public spending. The point that I'm making
would have an effect in Scotland.
The point that I'm making is the health budget has increased right through the 13 years of the Labour government. It is carry on increasing, and it's increasing again. But remember, we're not talking about... We will have a general election in 9 months' time. That's when we'll decide on what government we want to run the UK as a whole. This is within the referendum, we're discussing a completely different proposition. Hold on a minute. That is breaking up the UK, Scotland going it alone, and that is why issues like what money we've got to spend, what currency we've got, and the lack of plan B is critically important.
But that proposition very much depends, if there's a no vote, on which government is elected to Westminster and the subsequent block grant to Scotland. You said in a 2011 election leaflet delivered from your Edinburgh South West constituency, only Labour has the strength to stand up to the Tories and their cuts. The SNP simply don't have the clout. That's recognition, surely, that the Scottish government can be railroaded by Westminster.
No, in relation to the NHS, which you're asking me about, it is entirely up to the Scottish Parliament, the Scottish Government, how much of the block grant it spends on the health service, its shape and form. Now, if you look, for example, you know, you said about choices. If you take education, for example, the Nationalist government has cut 130,000 college places, most of them going to people from disadvantaged backgrounds. So that's an example of where you make a political choice and how much you spend. But if we come back to the NHS, you mentioned, you know, you had a clip from Alex Salmond yesterday, who was going on about his new constitution and the health service. It's funny, it wasn't in the draft that was published in June. This has only appeared in the last couple of weeks. Why is that? Well, perhaps the clue is in a quote in one of the newspapers today, in the Daily Record, I think, where one of the nationalists was saying, why do you think we're doing this? Because negative campaign work.
Well, let's turn to the issue of the currency.
Yes, of
You've said currency union is a no-no, and other colleagues at Westminster have said the same.
It's what not else? Just at Westminster.
Well, what
People
else do
all
you
over
think?
The country are well, saying
okay,
it doesn't
so
work.
Currency is, currency union is ruled out. What else do you think the ministers from the rest of the UK should say no to when it comes to negotiations?
Well, because the currency is central to everything a country does, because it determines how much you pay in interest rates, how much your mortgages cost, how much the cost of the weekly shop is, how much your savings are worth. It is absolutely critical. And it's not.
And we know you're opposed to a currency union, but what else do you think ministers from the rest of the UK should say no to when it comes to negotiations?
Well, there's a whole lot of negotiations would have to take place, and you can go through every single one of them on the white paper if you want. But you were asking about me about the currency. The currency.
No, I was asking you about other things that you should say no to.
Well, look, in relation to Europe, there's a lot of things. The currency, though, and the currency union, because it is so central to this campaign, and people rightly would say, well, what would your attitude be? I think a currency union would be bad for Scotland. It wouldn't be good for the rest of the UK. I think, frankly, Alex Salmond's refusal to tell us what his plan B is, with a week to go before the first postal ballots start being issued, is a disgrace. He's hinting yesterday that he'd have the Panama solution, you know, using the pound. The one thing that his panel of experts, that you know, keep saying with the two Nobel laureates on it, have ruled out. The one thing they've ruled out, and no wonder, because you've got no backup if anything goes wrong. You have to run a surplus. That's what they do in Panama, what they do in Hong Kong, which means massive cuts to spending.
Panama's been successful, though, hasn't it?
Sorry?
Panama's been successful, hasn't it? Prosperous.
If you want to live in a country where only 20% of its wealth is spent on public services, then, you know, you might say that. I don't want to live in a country like that, because I think the health service, good quality education, transport, decent law and order, which you don't always have in many of these countries, that is absolutely critical. Hold on, you asked me the question. If you use somebody else's currency, not only do you have no central bank, no backup in the event of a crisis, but you also have to run a surplus. In other words, we have a deficit last year of £12 billion. What do you think that would do to health spending?
But the reason that there wouldn't be a central bank, of course, is because you would say no to a currency union.
Yes.
Do you accept that saying no to currency union is, in the words of Alex Salmond, seizing the assets of the UK?
No, look. The currency is not like a CD collection that you divide up if you split up. The currency is only worth what it is because it has the strength of the Bank of England behind it, and critically, the strength of the UK behind that.
Is the Bank of England an asset?
The Bank of England, I know from my own experience, the Chancellor, the Bank of England doesn't actually have that much money. The asset is the fact the UK government is standing behind it.
But does it follow that Scotland deserves a share of these assets, which it's contributed towards for 300 years?
What I'm saying to you is that in relation to a currency, the pound sterling, why people will accept that is because at the end of the day, the UK government stands behind it, as we saw in the banking crisis 5 or 6 years ago. People take the US dollar because they know the United States of America stands behind it. They're less happy to take other currencies where they're not so sure about the provenance of the government. So you're not actually talking about a CD collection or something like that. The reason that a currency union wouldn't work is because they only work if you've got economic agreement and you've got political agreement. You see that in the Eurozone. Do you really want to import the problems of the Eurozone into the United Kingdom when you don't need to? What we have is the best solution because you have a pound, you have a common economic policy, you need the necessary political backup to make that work. That's why a currency union will not work.
As you say, people will be casting their postal ballots very soon. If they're going to put a cross in the no box, what new powers can you guarantee them will follow an election?
Okay, well, already on the statute book and coming from next year, the Scottish Government will have the power to decide on what stamp duty we have and also on borrowing.
What new powers are guaranteed following an election?
You asked.
Those are powers that are already coming. I want to know about new powers.
These are new powers because they're not in. From 2016, the Scottish Parliament will have the responsibility to raise the income tax rate. Now, beyond that, all three parties, the non-nationalist parties, have said that further powers are coming. My own party Party wants to extend the power to vary income tax by up to 15 pence in the pound and to increase the upper bands to have a more progressive system if it wants to do that. What is striking is that rather like the process that led to the Calmon Commission and the legislation passed in 2012 that is just about to come in, the parties are more or less on the same page. There will be
more powers
guaranteed.
Well, they're not, because the Tories say that they want full income tax powers. The Lib Dems are somewhere similar. Your party's saying absolutely no to that, aren't you?
We are advocating a significant extension of powers. What has happened before the Constitutional Convention prior to the general election of 1997 and in the process that led up to the Calmon Commission, which was finally concluded its deliberations in 2012, you had a consensus. The only people who walked out on those proceedings were the nationalists. So I'm absolutely confident about that. It's not just that. There's also additional devolution of powers in relation to welfare, of housing benefit, the jobs programme. And wouldn't it be good if the cities of this Scotland were able to have powers over the jobs programme so we could better get more people into work? Because at the end of the day, what we're talking about here are opportunities in the future, the prospects of jobs for people in the country. We need good quality training, but above all, we need a stable economy, one where firms in Scotland, most of whom depend one way or another on trade with the rest of the UK without any barriers or borders or boundaries. That's what we're talking about. That is why this debate on currency, the debate on the economy, is so absolutely critical to each and every one of us, and what's more, generations to come.
Alistair Darling of the Better Together campaign, thank you very much for your time this morning. It's 20 past 8.